Welcome to Your Dog's Best Friend. I'm Tracy Hotchner, and I'm excited to be here with my co-host, Sarah Hodgson. More than a dog trainer, Sarah is truly your dog's best friend, and she knows you want to be your own dog's best friend, too. She's a people trainer for dogs, cheerfully bridging the gap between humans and canines. Sarah can help you and your dog communicate better. When dogs talk, Sarah listens. We'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting the show and want you to know we've invited these companies to be here. To get a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for dogs and cats, send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady network. Stay tuned tonight for Pet Food Advisors with Dr. Sean Delaney right after this show. This show is a production of Eight Paws LLC and When Dogs Talk, which are solely responsible for its content. Call us with any questions you have about your dog's behavior or training. Our number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Give us a call. Well, Sarah, we aren't just live on the air as we are every Thursday night. We're also live in New York City, Manhattan, 47th and Lexington Avenue in the Halo City Tales NYC pop-up shop. How cool is that?
That is awesome.
We love being in New York City. Yeah, it's so cool. We're in our own studio, but we're there too. So any of you that have hung out today in the Halo City Tales New York City store doing good things for the Halo Pet Foundation, thank you for being there. Thank you for stopping by. And if you have any questions about your dogs, are you hoping to adopt at one of the adoption events? Sarah is so great at helping you figure out what to look for, or if you've met the dog, how to know, is that the dog for you? Or if you've got a dog there and they're acting up and they're not acting the way you hope, give us a call. Sarah is very good at even your simplest leash walking in New York City, because everything with our dogs can be a little bit better, right? So if you want a little tuning or tweaking or a little solution to even a big serious problem, that's what we're here for. 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. I have a question that came in, Sarah, that's one I think that's very interesting for both of us, because we probably have a kind of similar reaction to this. Our answer isn't how to solve her problem, it's how she shouldn't have this problem. So here it is. I have a dog, Homer, and when I leave the house, I put him in a crate. Ugh. The crate was becoming damaged, so I had my daughter set up her laptop with Skype and called me so I could connect and watch him to see what he does after she left. He would push against the crate doors and bite the bars, which would cause the bending. The reason I have to keep him in the crate while I'm gone is that when I left him loose in the house one day, he destroyed a railing with two posts and 14 spindles. He chewed every single one of them. On an occasion prior to that, he chewed up about 10 books and literally shredded them. The living room looked as if it had snowed in there from all the little bits of paper, which led me to putting him in a crate. Now he wants out of the crate. I want him out of the crate, too. She says she hates to leave him in there, but she doesn't want her house destroyed. Any suggestions? Yeah, the crate's got to go, right? Unless the dog is under 6 months old and isn't housebroken yet, the crate is not how we solve energy. Right, Sarah?
Well, the key thing to remember about the crate is it's good to encourage rest, but when it encourages such a high level of stress, it's not really doing its job. The one thing she's going to want to bear in mind, though, giving the dog full house freedom where Homer can look out the window and get further stress, he's feeling
right.
Very trapped. He's feeling
right.
Separation anxiety is also not so good. So she's going to really want to designate a safe room, a safe place for Homer. It's not a crate. It's not full house freedom, because all that destruction is just a reaction to feeling trapped and unsafe.
I totally agree. And maybe under-exercised and under-mentally challenged. So it's a combination of the two.
Y'all. Yes.
You know, she didn't tell us how old Homer is. Let's make pretend. Homer's a two-year-old lab. A two-year-old lab was bred genetically, hardwired, to spend about 8 hours running full steam and leaping into bodies of cold water and fetching back some ducks. So if Homer just sits alone at home and you all come home and say, "Hey, Homer, how's it going? Oops, you destroyed our library." Homer says, "Well, where were the ducks?" Right? I mean, it's like, what kind of life are you offering your dog and meeting his needs? Because it's nice that Sarah's always the sweetie and says, oh, the poor things might be having separation anxiety. I think he's got to get his yayas out. People don't take enough time. I mean, once around the block for a poo or a pee doesn't help. And once a week jogging with your dog is unhealthy for them. It's just pointless to just every so often tire them to the point where their tongues are hanging out. Sarah, for a medium to large size energy kind of breed or mixed breed of dog, what kind of exercise do you generally recommend that they give that dog every day?
I always recommend that dogs be allowed to run free, not unconfined, but run free once a day for 10 minutes, uncommanded, unleashed. And of course, you can't let a dog unleashed if it's an unconfined area. So I recommend getting a long line, a 50-foot okay. long line. Take some toys that the dogs love. My dogs all love tennis balls. So I'll take them out for 10 minutes. I won't give them one command. I'll let them sniff around on their long line. I'll let them play with each other. I'll toss their ball for them. They'll bring it back. I won't even encourage them to fetch. I'll just take right. two or three balls. So they get their ball. I let them keep their ball, play with their ball, play with each other. Then I throw another ball. And I just keep them moving and playing for about 10 minutes. You know, and it would be great if we all had 2-acre properties. I personally don't. I don't know about you, but most people in the city don't. But find a park, or I go out early and I take my dogs to the ball field before anybody's out and playing on it. And I let all four of mine just run around and they tackle each other. And that's the best form of play. Training's important. You know, you want to communicate a certain amount of structure in the house, sit and down and follow on the leash are all important, but nothing really takes place of just letting a dog be a dog. They're not, you know, they're not an animal you can stick in an aquarium. They're not a zoo creature. They need a lot of stimulation, but they also just need some freedom to explore.
And I think that the crate really does become an aquarium. So that, you know, anyone who says, well, my dog isn't housebroken, so that's why I crate them. Fie on you. You needed to housebreak them. A. B, my dog is destructive. Well, that destruction either comes from the stress and anxiety that Sarah immediately imagined and is surely part of it, because you could even call stress, I've got too much energy and I don't have any place to expel it, you know, like putting 6-8-year-old boys in a small closet. Like, they're
well,
going to
they
just...
If there were six dogs, a dog would probably have a much better life.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You
it's
want
the guy
to remember,
alone.
This dog's alone. So dogs are not a solitary species. He's feeling trapped. He's feeling left out. He probably wants to go with his people, but he can't. And he's just frantic.
So here's our little wish list for you with Homer is – lose the crate. He's destroyed it anyway. He's done the right thing. He's told you this is not the solution to my problem. Find a way to make your kitchen dog-proof. Because that, don't you think, people sometimes say the laundry room, Sarah, but a laundry room can be really small and windowless and more like a jail. There is a way
to... have a social room.
Yeah. If you're going to go out, try and dog-proof your kitchen. Obviously, don't have any food out. And, you know, either close doors or have really good baby gates that he can't get around. And you can get, I would suggest getting an adaptable collar. This is something that I don't know, Sarah, if you've had a chance to use it with your Bamboozle who has some separation anxiety issues, but it's put on for 30 days. It's imbued with a pheromone, a chemical version of it's not really a scent. It's not something they smell, but their brain perceives it.
This.
It's very cool. It's a French company called Siva. It's been around for probably at least 100 years. And they developed Feel Away and Adaptil. At one point, it was called Comfort Zone. Same company makes the pheromone that goes in there. There's a place in the dog's brain. We'll leave aside the cat, but it's very similar for the cat. But it's the facial cheek glands in the cat that they found a synthetic version of. When a cat's happy, they rub their cheeks on things. So the Feel Away spray and diffuser is that smell. And that is like a Linus blanket. It's the smell that says, I've already marked this. It's a good thing. For the dog, the Adaptil is the scent. It's not really a scent or an odor. There's a place in their brain that receives this information that's exactly what they perceived when their mother was lactating. So that feeling they had as a puppy suckling, which is apparently just like if you're a dog, probably if we're humans too, those were the happy days, right? No problems,
right.
No concerns, just get up to the milk bar and have a good suck. That feeling for them is like having a security blanket. So any room that, that Homer was going to stay in, or in the case of Bamboozle, you put a feel away, I'm sorry, an Adaptyl diffuser in the wall. They last 30 days. I'm going to get some sent to you, Sarah, because they're one of our sponsors and they're an amazing company. So it comes in a spray. So you could spray the inside of the car if they're going in the car and have issues. You could spray bedding. You could spray almost anything that you want the dog to be near and feel good about. The diffuser puts it into the atmosphere. And the best of all, particularly with severe separation anxiety or this kind of stress that Homer's having, the collar is triggered by body heat. So if you have a thick, thick dog, Bamboozle has quite a bit of fur. You might even want to like shave or clip off a little channel for it. So it's right up against his skin. So his body heat stimulates that odor, which isn't really an odor, so that he's all the time feeling like, la, this is so great.
Love
it's
it.
Not a chemical. It's a synthetic version of a true chemical that their mother's milk or her nipples emit. I don't know exactly where it came from, but that's what they've been able to make. And in Europe, and in England, these products are incredibly widely used and a little less so in America. It's taken a while for people to come around to it. The collars only can come from a vet. If anyone doesn't have access to Adaptyl, or in that case, Feel Away, you can get it from one of our other show co-hosts, Dr. Sean, the natural vet, on his website, petcarenaturally.com. He's carrying it just for listeners of all of our shows. So I think that and exercise, and I still would say tricks, you know. I think for the dog with a lot of energy, obedience is essential, but then just one or two tricks you could teach the dog. Sarah's great on tricks. She wrote a book about tricks. It's great if you can have Sarah show you how to do a trick, because if you see it once, you'll get it, and so will the dog. But even if you stumble along and just buy her book and just try it for yourself, give the dog something to engage their mind and make them feel more connected to you. So we feel bad for Homer being stuck in a crate and any other dog whose people think that that's how you manage them, because it's really not a gerbil. Right, Sarah?
Right. And Homer may not be actually stuck in there for long periods of time, but a lot of people are under the misperception that when they leave the house, they have to crate the dog. And
yes,
some dogs do adapt well and they learn to sleep by being organized in that way. And others, dogs just freak out. They do much better being enclosed in a communal room like a kitchen. Like you said, you want to proof it so it's all set that way. But remember that the crate is not the be-all and end-all solution for every dog behavior problem. And it really only should be used when the dogs are young and learning to sleep when you're out for short periods of time.
Or overnight that they don't soil and they can tell you that you keep
and they
the crate.
It's like tucking a child into a bed.
Exactly. Or a crib, as you said, which is a really nice phrase for a baby doggy. But that way, but it still has to be near you. So when they cry at night, you get up just like a mother does to feed her baby, and you take them out of their crate if they tell you they need to go. I mean, it still becomes a communication tool. So my feeling about crates is it's best to keep them dusty. That's what I think. They should be used and then be quite dusty. I want to say hi again. If you've just walked into the Halo City Tales pop-up shop, you are listening to Your Dog's Best Friend with dog trainer Sarah Hodgson and myself, Tracy Hotchner. We would love to invite you to call us with any dog training or behavior question you have. Are you using a crate in New York City apartment? We say put it in the basement. We will give you solutions on how to let your dog be at least in some part of your apartment without destroying anything and without being caged like a prisoner. Our number is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. We're going off for a quick break. When we're back, we've got more questions to read, but we'd love to hear from you too. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility. So it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those who are trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptyl for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and feel-away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend feel-away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for Feel-Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks, with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals Omega 3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. You're listening to Your Dog's Best Friend. I'm here with Sarah Hodgson, and we're here to help you live a happier, more fun, and relaxed life with your dog. If you're in the Halo pop-up store, welcome to the show. We're glad to meet you. We'd love you to call us. That's what we're here for. 888-429-5471. Give us a call. Sarah, before we get to the next question, I wanted to ask you about your use of the long line with all the dogs playing together. I know you're very aware of safety, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea about whether in general you can leave a leash on a collar to let dogs play together, because we hear these terrible stories of dogs strangling and getting their teeth and their whatever stuck in the thing. Can you explain how a long line is different and the kinds of collars you use? I'm sure you don't use choke chains, or as they're pleasantly called, slip collars, in that kind of a setting.
No, and I generally don't. I sell the long lines on my store. I have an Amazon store with some helpful pet products.
And tell people at that, because long lines are actually very hard to find, and I've seen yours, and they're the slippery kind, which is super good. I used to use it when I was first adopting dogs, and we would go loose in the woods, and I would have them trail a long line behind them. So everyone understands it's like the skinniest clothesline.
It's the lightest long line available, and it's a cotton nylon web, and it's blue, so it's very bright.
Yes, I saw that.
It kind of jumps out in the grass, and you know, it doesn't get weighted down by the dew, and the heavy cotton just gets so heavy
It
ends up being heavier than the dog. So I have a very lightweight one for small dogs, a heavier gauge, and a 50-foot one for the bigger dogs. But I never put a long line on a dog unless I'm supervising them. I generally will put it just on their neck collar.
Right.
Occasionally a gentle leader if I don't have a real wild dog. I don't want to put it on a gentle leader if I have a German short-haired pointer that's bee-lying out at 40 miles an hour.
Because you'll get a neck ache.
Or I'll dislocate my shoulder.
Right. Anyhow...
But
you step on it, right? I mean, this is one of the
tricks. You step on it.
You step
and I
on
only,
it. You never
if
pick
I have
it
four
up.
Dog, right. You pick it up only to manage your dog going in and out. My dog's always – you'll hear my dogs in the background. I have three.
That's
and,
good.
I have three in the room. I have four dogs, but they're all just playing right now.
They're rabble rousing. And that's the great thing about having multiple dogs. You don't really have to provide so much stimulation. They do it for each other, being pack animals. But Sarah, that's something I had forgotten about long lines. It's been so long since I've used them. But if anyone is newly adopting and has a kind of space that Sarah spoke about, no roads anywhere nearby, no chance of traffic, but it allows the dog to have the freedom to seem to be free, but you can always step on it if they start to go off and aren't responding to you.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point because, you know, humans, we walk in a linear fashion. We're very into control. We don't take time to explore. And that's all your dog really wants to do. He wants to sniff. He wants to meander. He wants to follow the scented pathway. And in a long line, you can give him that. When you give a dog what they need, they come back to you with so much relaxation and love. It just feels,
it's true. And by stepping on it, if they are going beyond the boundary where you feel comfortable – it's also a great way to teach the wait command. That's how I taught all my dogs the wait command.
Perfect.
Is that you say, you say wait, and in the beginning you do it with a normal leash, and you give a little tap back with it, and they stop for a second, and you praise them. But it's amazing with a long line, because you can get them to wait at quite a distance. It's really just a pause and refresh. I mean, the wait is really just not for very long, at least in my house.
It's a check-in.
Yeah,
you just teach them to stop, look, and listen.
Yeah.
And on my website, whendogstalk.com, if you go to the tip section, there's a free ebook on how to use a long line.
Really? Okay, so this is something we need to get on RadioPetLady.com on the Your Dog's Best Friend page. Here's note to self. Add Sarah's ebook and the long line. I can't recommend them enough, and I've never seen one like Sarah's. If and when I get a young dog again, please spare me. I'm going to buy one of them because, first of all, she's right. It's light blue and therefore doesn't look like the grass, the forest, the anything. You can see where your long line is. The other ones are kind of neutral, and you're not even sure where it is. And with that bit of nylon in it, it slips across rocks, branches. It's great.
Yep.
So we're going to be selling a lot of these long lines because I really recommend that people whose dogs have never had freedom, this is a way to kind of have baby steps towards freedom, or maybe the best freedom they'll ever get, you know? Who knows?
Right.
So that's really cool. And, you know, to have some products like that, Sarah, it takes a lot of work and trouble and expense to develop products and get them created and packaged and so forth. And I really appreciate that you did it with something that's truly functional, not just another blankety blank, whatever it might be. This is something that people really need, and it's unfamiliar to most people.
Yeah, and it's very – a lot of behavior problems are because dogs are just chronically frustrated. They're frustrated in their crate. They're frustrated on the end of a short leash. They can't just express themselves in ways that are natural and healthy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely right. And this gives people that little sensation of letting their dog be free and let his hair flow in the breeze, you know? All right, now here is a question from somebody. You and I might have a little different solution to it, but I'm very interested to know what you have to say. It's from Brittany in Arizona. And this is funny. She has, this is the part that to me strikes me sort of funny. My pit bull American bulldog mix. So, I mean, this is just an aside, and I wonder how often you come up against this issue of this breed racism, if you will. That's not really the right word, against pit bulls, so that now people are not calling them pit bulls, either the owners or the place they rescued or adopted them from, so they call them American bulldog. But isn't
or
that like a euphemism for pit bull?
Staffordshire Terrier.
There really are Staffordshire Terriers, and there really are bulldogs. They don't look anything really...
But there's an American bulldog. They're huge.
Is there?
Oh, my God. They're gigantic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're massive. Beautiful, beautiful animals.
Oh, you mean like the sort of English bulldog that people have?
No. It's far larger. The American bulldog really looks to me more like a boxer than a bulldog. It's massive.
Really?
Very large.
Okay, I'm going to have to get out my book of dog breeds and bone up on that
one. Wikipedia.
No, I use real books on a shelf, never fie on all that. I mean, we don't want people to get their information on the internet. We want them to buy Sarah's books and listen to our show. We don't want you all to be going on Wikipedia. God knows what they'll tell you. Anyway, she has a pit bull. Well, God bless her. You know, people who have them adore them. They can be great family dogs, but you don't even have to give them another
name. They're wonderful.
They're great. My pit bull American bulldog mix, so this dog has like five breeds, is a complete sweetheart, except when he gets around the pool. I know this sounds like a typical problem. However, this is where it gets interesting. He is fine in the pool sometimes. However, other times he's happily swimming along, and then he turns on the speed and almost chases you. From there, with only certain people, he will try to nip or bite you. I know he is not doing this because he thinks it's a game or is actually aggressively trying to eat you. See, I think he does think it's a game. I almost think that he's nervous for the person swimming, and the only thing he has to use is his mouth, or that people swimming underwater scares him. This is a serious problem. Well, first he said it was just a fun, but he was happily swimming along, and then he has like this Jekyll and Hyde thing. This is a serious problem because during the Arizona heat, we love to swim in the pool, and so do our dogs. Please help. I don't want any of my friends or family to get bitten. Well, you know, Sarah, if this was consistent, like with a Sheltie or any kind of a herding type dog, sometimes German Shepherds, they cannot abide people to be in the pool, right?
Well, remember, most pools look like an empty bottomless pit to a dog. Dogs are nearsighted. They don't really pick up water unless it's like in a river, unless it has some immediate dichotomy. And so, you know, it just, the nearsightedness of the dog, their depth perception is totally different than humans. Right. So pools create a lot of stress for animals, especially the dark pools. The dark bottom pools are create a lot of tension producing behavior. So you have the dog that runs around barking frantically.
Yes.
That dog is terrified. The person's just falling into this pit.
Into
they don't understand
hole.
The water. Into a
dark
That's
hole. Cool. That's very cool. That's an extremely good point. So they really are being Lassie, Lassie, Lassie. Timmy fell down the well. To them, every pool is a well.
Yeah, and they're pretty scared for their owner, and they can't seem to evoke any change because the owners all laugh and look at them, flip around, and they get more and more, and it becomes a physiological reaction, much like separation anxiety. I think they need these collars,
adaptable collar,
diffusers. I'm going to encourage my clients with these problems to get them as well. Because I'm
great,
treating
course,
it much like a separation anxiety behavior. It's physiological.
Well, course,
they freak out.
That's interesting. Their adrenaline goes up. Their cortisol levels go up. At this point, they're not thinking clearly, if you want to put it that way. But in fact, no adaptive collar is going to change that reality of the pit. So I think in a situation where the dog is simply running around. Well, I mean, it would help, but you need a lot of behavior modification to go with it.
But one thing you can do to help the dog is I have the people take four rocks and a couple of big white sheets, queen size sheets, and they swim down to the bottom of the pool. So there's a contrast color. I've got a dark pool with a white sheet pinned to the bottom of it, and that seems to help.
Seriously.
I get a big white yellow, actually yellow is easier to find, one of those yellow foam floats, and we put those around the pool so that there's contrast for the dog. It helps. You just have to get them visually be able to pick up some contrast so it doesn't just look like an empty pool.
That is such a cool idea. That's obviously something she should do, but then there's the issue of the dog being in the pool. The dog being in the pool, a lot of people, the dog gets excited and then scratches them. I mean, not quote unquote on purpose, but they come swimming near the person and they're kind of trying to get Timmy out of the well. As far as nipping and biting, I mean, to me, any nipping and biting in any situation has to be stopped immediately. All behavior has to stop. People have to get out of the pool. Dog has to be got out of the pool, and dog has to go and be indoors. I mean, I just think when you allow
there's an easier way.
Okay, there's an easier way. She's going to tell us this when we come back from a break. We're going to go to a break when we come back. Ooh, we have a call from the Halo pop-up store. Loving that. You too can join us, 888-429-5471. We're going to get a wonderful call and find out how to do something better than putting your dog in the house. That's my solution. It's not very creative. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck. For your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat Attract litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Your Dog's Best Friend. I'm here with Sarah Hodgson, best friend to dogs and to people. And we are also simul-broadcasting into the Halo City Tales New York City pop-up shop. And we're very excited to have David on the line from there. Hey, David, how are you?
Hello, Tracy. How are you?
We are divine. You heard the Halo ad just now. A little spoiler alert. David is sort of the head of the Halo company, and he really does genuinely believe all the things that I say. I want you to meet Sarah Hodgson. She's my wonderful new co-host and the most wonderful dog trainer. If you ever wind up in a pickle with a dog, David, Sarah's the one to get you out of the pickle.
Sarah,
hi, David. It is so nice to meet you.
How are things in that pop-up store?
All the wonderful advocacy that you do to help people with their pets, and you know, so many dogs and cats have benefited from what you've been telling folks.
You are so dear to say that. Well, what is better than the fact that you're going to have adoption events right in the pop-up store? That's a lot of helps. That's a lot of help to a lot of pets right there, like a new home for all of them, right?
Oh my goodness, it's been amazing. We're right here in the middle of Manhattan at 47th and Lexington, and people are just popping in to do good for pets.
I love it.
It's 25,000 people every day are walking by our corner shop.
We're
not selling anything here. All we're doing is raising money for the Halo Pet Foundation, which, as you know, contributes 100% of everything we receive to groups like the ASPCA and National Canine Cancer Foundation and for all sorts of shelters for disaster relief. And it's just been so much fun here.
It's so cool for people to be able to meet the kind of heart and soul of a company. You know, you think, oh, you're going to have a store, you're going to sell stuff. What you're selling is goodness. If they make a donation, then they get, like, good stuff from the Ellen TV show, like, I don't know, T-shirts and a chance to win a visit to her show in L.A. and, like, really fun stuff. But really what they're doing is a chance to make a donation. Not everyone really gets that opportunity, David, to feel like they're giving money that's going to go 100% of every dollar to pets in need, pets indeed in need. You know, I mean, that's just a really great feeling. All the overhead's covered by the Halo Foundation, which is pretty unusual. Mostly, you know, I don't know, 25% goes to paying for the telephone and paying for the secretary and turning the lights on. So that's really pretty wonderful.
So that's right. The pet food company, Allen's Pet Food Company, Halo Purely for Pets, pays all the expenses. And so when a person donates a dollar, $1 goes back out the door for an animal rescue or a welfare organization. And gosh, Tracy and Sarah, I'm so proud to work for the company because this idea for the pop-up here in New York, City Tales, it came right from the top. This is the idea of our CEO, Steve Martin. Who I know you've known for a very long time.
Wonderful human.
He came to Halo because he wants to give back, both by way of providing amazing food for pets, but by way of really taking the lead to be the most exemplary philanthropic pet food company. So you know me, I couldn't be more thrilled than to work here.
And I know your joy comes right through the leash, so to speak. It really is tremendous. You know, we need to get Sarah some of your treats. I'll work on that behind the scenes because, Sarah, they have some great treats, and you're a trainer. So what do you need more than almost anything else? Some great treats, right, to get the job done.
Absolutely.
So that would be great.
We will hook you up.
Yeah, we've got to
hook
her up.
Me up.
We're going to turn her into a Halo babe.
I'm on it.
Now, David, when is the next adoption event? You probably don't know it off the top of your head, at the City Tales shop at 47th and Lexington?
I don't, but we have events going on every single day. We have a special website. It's the halopets.com/citytales.
Oh, nice.
CityTales. halopets.com/citytales. And that gives the whole calendar of events. It says when we're on the air with Tracy Hotzner.
Oh, my God. Really? You have Tracy Hotchner? You lucky thing.
No, it feels like such an honor to be here.
Well, it's just a terrific opportunity. I'm going to download that schedule so that when I'm on the air in the shop, I'll be able to say to people in the shop, "Oh, tomorrow is X, Y, and Z," because you have really cool people coming and doing demonstrations. And being New York City, so many different rescue groups that you've reached out to and invited them to utilize the shop as a way to find homes for the pets, make people realize there's such a better option than a pet store, right?
Absolutely. The stars of the show here will be the folks from ASPCA and Bidawi and Rescue Inc. and all the other shelters that
will be
coming here.
That is so cool. It's going to be wonderful. I'm sorry that I can't be there every day myself, but it's probably just as well I'd wind up with way too many pets. David, thank you for taking time from all the wonderful passersby who pop into the pop-up shop and probably just are amazed to find it there. It's really wonderful, and we're very happy on the Radio Pet Lady Network for you to offer us this wonderful entree into some of the people that are going to fall in love with Halo, and maybe they'll fall in love with the Radio Pet Lady Network at the same time. So it's a win-win-win.
No, absolutely. And Tracy, if I may, I want to give one special shout out to all the Halo retailers. We have a special VIP event for very special Halo retailers who are also here in the pop-up. And they're listening to you both right now. And, as you can imagine, if it weren't for them, we wouldn't be donating anything because they really make it all work right at the community level.
So here we go. Hip, hooray. We need you to get more of your fellow retailers with real brick-and-mortar stores to carry Halo. I cannot tell you how many stores are not smart like you. So I need to get the list of where you are because I can't tell you how often people say, "What should I feed? Halo, no doubt about it." And they're like, "My store doesn't carry it." Don't go to that store anymore then. Don't go to that store. Go to a store that carries Halo, because the ones that are carrying your food, David, and hi to all of you, and I hope you're getting drunk and eating lots of cheese and wine or whatever they're giving you, probably giving you protein dog treats. Oh, but that's okay. They're human grade probably. It's really fantastic to have as many retailers as possible carrying these foods. They're just special, and I just wish there were more stores that carried it. On the other hand, I probably shouldn't say that to the retailers. That's probably the wrong thing to say.
We already have such a special group, and they are doing a fantastic job. You know, they're promoting it here in the city. In the city, every dollar that's going to be spent on Halo this month, freekibbles.com is going to donate a meal of Halo. So if you buy a $60 big bag of Halo, 60 meals will be donated to an area shelter.
Nice. That's terrific. That's really good. Well, thank you to the retailers for showing up. And I hope that what I need to do is get maybe at some point I'll get a list of all those retailers and I can send them some of the nice, cheerful little cards about the radio network so they can let their customers know about the network, because then on the network they'll hear the Halo ad on all the shows and that'll just reinforce their decision to eat Halo, right?
That would be fantastic.
Terrific. David, thank you for taking time from your wonderful group of people. And to all of you, really, thank you for embracing Halo. There's very few companies with food this good, and certainly none with a heart as big. So thank you so much. And I'm going to find your names and send you all cards, because I'm sure lots of you will have customers who would like Sarah's advice. You know, she's in Westchester. She's actually accessible, puppy classes and training. And so that's another nice thing. Pet stores are often the place
Absolutely.
That people trust the most for advice, right? I mean, not just food advice, but all kinds of advice.
Yes.
So we're thrilled to be part of what you're doing and really proud of you. So have a great rest of the night, and thank you so much for being part of the show.
You too. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Sarah, we're going to hook you up. You are going to be so haloed out, you will not know what hit you. Those dogs are going to be smiling.
I'm in love with Ellen DeGeneres. I just think she's the funniest thing on the planet.
And the most single, and most dedicated to animal welfare of any celeb that lives and breathes.
I must know her.
I know. All these years I've been working with Halo, and the idea of like getting on Ellen's show, yeah, dream on. However, Dr. Donna, who is on our network, who is also the official vet of the Halo website and answers all the medical questions. She is our fellow co-host, my dear, on the Expert Vet. And Donna's been on the Ellen Show a lot of times. So the next time she goes on the Ellen Show, she'll just have to have two handlers with her, won't she? Two Radio Pet Lady Network handlers, because Donna's going to be scared to travel alone. We're going to get her an Adaptyl collar, pheromones. We're going to calm her down, and we'll be in the green room with her. You know, and if one of us just happens to run out on stage to kiss Ellen, it's just what happens, right? Can't control ourselves. She really is that great. Okay, I just want to finish about this swimming. So here's a dog swimming in the pool. Seems, she says, only with certain people he tries to nip or bite. You know, really, is it the person or is it what the person's doing? Maybe it's a person who splashes a lot, right? Maybe there's some behavior the person's doing that suddenly riles up the dog who seems to be happily swimming along with them.
Yeah, it's funny. Some people look at they think a dog's happy because they're wagging their tail or because they're swimming. You know, we're not exactly sure if the dog's swimming happy or swimming stressed.
You're right.
But regardless, the dog has to learn the dog has to learn the term away, which means swim away from that person. You can't swim directly at somebody because whether it's play or whether it's confrontational, doesn't matter. The person swimming that the dog swim towards could be calling the dog. It could be staring at the dog. It's eliciting some reactivity. So the first thing you need to do is find behaviors you can encourage in the pool, such as if the dog loves a ball or a squeak toy, say, get the ball, get the ball. Then you get some kind of deterrent that you don't necessarily, you should never spray at the dog or you should never enact at the dog. You don't want to be seen as confrontational. But if the dog's swimming towards somebody, someone could stand to the side and spray an air compressor or a horn or, you know, there are all sorts of noise deterrents people use. I get a little CVS breath spray, which you can unscrew the top of, pour out, pour in a little water or bitter apple. And that's something easy you can just tuck into a bathing suit. And if the dog's swimming towards you, you don't spray them in the face. You spray a vapor boundary between you and you just say, away. And then you immediately redirect, go get your ball.
So yeah, that's smart. I like that. In fact, I bought one of those citrusy kind of spray things.
Yeah, the spray.
It was kind of it was a breath spray thing because one of my dogs gets so excited at the prospect of going for a walk. Meanwhile, this is a dog who has a dog door 5 feet from where we're standing. He can go in and out of this door anytime. But when he thinks I'm going on a walk with him, he gets so excited he kind of bites me in the butt. Nips. I mean, there's no touching of skin. I mean, he grabs at me. And it's obviously not great if it's somebody else's butt, although I don't think he'd do it to anyone else. And what if sometime I'm wearing tighter pants or leggings and he does actually get me, right? So my idea was I'd have this thing and you can't say to him, calm down. It's like saying calm down to a 4-year-old. Calm down. You know, and telling him sit is worse. He'll sit and then he leaps straight up in the air from the thrill of having sat. So I tried to do the spray thing and, I was hopeless at it. I wound up spraying my pants. But maybe I could get better aim, or maybe I could not try to do it at him but just around him because they don't like that taste or that smell, right?
Well, and excuse for a bit.
Bless you.
Even talking about citronella collar makes me sick.
I tell you what we're going to do while you're sneezing, Lovey. We have one more last quick little break, which we'll take. And when we get back, we're going to solve the problem. Of course, I have dogs that wouldn't set foot in water. And living in Vermont with exactly 2 months of the year where you could potentially swim, I don't have a pool anymore, and I'm rather glad for that. However, these problems could arise. I could wind up in a lake with them at some point. If they got dropped in, I guess they'd swim. God, they hate water. We'll be right back. I don't have these problems, but if you have any problems, 888-429-5471. And hi again to all those Halo retailers. Go, go, go. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. Sarah, your dog's best friend, and I are back, and we're finishing up our conversation about how do you let your dog swim safely with you without scratching you, getting too agitated, nipping at you. So, Sarah, out. Now, when you said away, which is, of course, another good word, out is a really great command. I thought I had it pretty well, but it's not working recently in the kitchen, I just want to say. I go out, out, out. And they kind of go out, and they immediately come back in. Well, they did go out, but they didn't stay out. But in the pool, that would be an interesting application of the out command. Or do you call it away?
No, away just means step away. That person, I do a lot of therapy works with my dog. So when I say away, they may be walking towards someone. I read their posture before they do. So away means turn away from that person.
Really?
Now, when I'm teaching in away, I generally throw a treat or a toy in the beginning. So I'll say away, ball. And all my dogs, you want to create, even with your dog at the door that's nipping you, you want to teach them, you want to have a basket of toys that they love. And I call it an obsession toy. So my dogs love balls. So I have like 60 balls at my house. It's ridiculous. But I have four dogs, 60 balls. It evens out. But I have balls and baskets at the front door and the back door. And I have one upstairs and one downstairs. And so whenever the puppies are getting too excited, I'll say, find your ball. Whenever we're at the door and somebody's coming in, instead of jumping up, I just taught them to grab their ball because they're excited. Like you said, you can't ask him to sit. He's not in sit mode. He's in seeking mode. He's in excited
joy mode, explosive.
So you tell him, get your ball, and he wants to use his mouth.
Yeah.
So you tell him what to use his mouth on. Then you use a little discouragement, like a pet corrector. It's an air blast or a citronella, the spray shield. But you don't spray them because then it's pitting you against your dog, which is not the point. It's just cause and effect. If you bite my butt, this vapor comes from nowhere. And I still play the positive role. I direct you to your ball.
Right.
And so you just create a new habit and you kind of use cause and effect boosters to shape out the old.
Yep.
And it's the same thing she can do in the pool.
Yeah. And have that floating toy that could be a ball or it could be some floating rubber thing. And someone could toss it so that the dog has somewhere else to direct that energy to away from the person.
Grab some Halo treats. You can, if they don't float, you can float them out on a piece of bread.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's so funny.
And, you know, you could use it. You could pick the command, Halo, Halo. It's cute. I want to name a dog Halo. The best. I'm naming, you know, I have crazy names for my dogs. One of them
you do,
Halo.
And Halo would be like perfect
Halo
for the angel dog.
I think we're gonna name dog. We have a cat that we adopted that's still nameless after about 4 months, and I think we're gonna call him Halo.
Oh,
I love
Halo.
That name.
Halo canned food for cats is excellent. You know to feed only canned food to your kitty, right?
Yes. And we home feed him too.
Nice.
But I'm going to start calling him Halo. So when
I get my
first shipment of Halo food, I can introduce Halo to Halo. That's a great name. That's it.
They also have really great freeze-dried protein treats that are good for dogs or cats. And until they get really rehydrated, they would probably float in the pool, and I don't think the dog would leave them alone for long enough for them to get hydrated, I mean, you know, rehydrated enough to go down to the bottom. That would be so funny to float this. That would be heaven on earth for a dog, floating treats on the surface of your water. I love it. My dogs are actually what they've wound up liking. They were never ball dogs, but they liked soft stuff. So a number of stuffed animals. At the moment, it seems to be predominantly monkeys and one gorilla. I don't know how. There's an alligator, but no one really liked the alligator. So they're all in a bunch, in a bin by the door where most of the coming and going goes. One of the dogs, it's no problem. She does it for herself now, like a security blanket. When she gets all riled up, she gets pretty excited about going on this dopey walk that lasts 10 minutes. I mean, it's the thrill of the day for them. She'll run over and stuff one in her own mouth. I mean, I don't have to even tell her to. But young teddy bear, it's just me. It's like the joy that I'm going to be on this walk with him, and he's not interested in the monkeys or anything else. But there is a kind of a funny toy, homemade toy that I invented. Well, I don't know that I actually invented it. I think some dog trainer I once worked with did. But you know how the police dogs, they're big, and the bomb sniffers, often their big reward is they get that dummy. It's kind of a solid but soft kind of tuggable thing. It looks like a giant salami. And they get to play with that for a minute. Most of them, they don't even use food with them. Oh, good, you found the bomb. Have a tug on the salami thing. So I came up, I don't know, why is that so great for these dogs, but they're crazy for it. I think it's like, it's one of those dummies that's also used in Schutzhund, you know, for go out and kind of, I don't know, find the man's leg in the woods, but it's really that dummy thing. So you make a towel burrito. You take the size of a hand towel, but you could really use any old towels and kind of, rip them down the middle. Roll them up like a burrito, and in three spots, on the two ends and in the middle, duct tape it. So there's duct tape holding it together, which apparently a lot of dogs have loved the flavor of the duct tape. It's kind of like a rubbery toy. And a burrito is great, a towel burrito. You can make a whole little stack of them. And then there's always something handy. They cost nothing. If they get gross and dirty, you can undo the duct tape, wash them, and redo it, or toss them if you're feeling wild and crazy. So I think the idea of having something by the door is really great, Sarah. We have 3 minutes left, but I wonder – I guess there's enough dog toys out there that we don't have to come up with the When Dogs Talk version of it, right? I mean, that's the whole point of your long line. It's something special that they can't find somewhere else and that's really needed. But, you know, if the balls sometimes are rough on the teeth, if the dogs have a tennis ball for too long, if they're really obsessive, in the end it's supposed to be not so good for their teeth. So to have something that's a little softer, and then I see them at the terry cloth, it kind of acts like a teeth cleaner a little bit. Some vets say if, you know, holding a soft thing in their mouth does sort of, it's obviously not in the back up at the gum line, but that it can help with tooth cleanliness. Did you know that?
I did. And they have tennis balls now they make especially for dogs.
Good.
I know Hart sent me a bunch, and they sent me these very dura, I guess they're called dura balls. They're very durable plastic that squeak, and my dogs just go bananas for them.
Oh, you're so
lucky.
And
a little frisbee disc.
So they found something they absolutely love. I guess that's the point. Find something that your dog goes nuts for. And
buy,
you know,
multiples. Don't divert. Get seven lucky footballs.
It's
and
true.
Teach them hike.
I love that. Give them that is so great. I love that. Hike with the furry football. Especially, yes, the summer's here, and only do it in the not boiling hot times of the day. But then if they played with it outside and they've gotten their saliva and scent on it, then it becomes a very treasured item, especially with multiple dogs. Then that's what you want to have in the bin. It isn't even the brand new one. It's the one that's nicely salivaed by others, right?
Yes, and that's yes. What you play with. So when you say hike, man, they go looking for their football.
I love it.
They're ready to go.
I love it. And then you can send a long pass out into the yard. And if you're at all worried about them coming back, they have a long line on. So no matter how far they go, they can't go too far before you can just take a couple of steps, step on the long line, and just say the word come. The long line stops them. They're like, what was that? And you say, come, and give them a halo treat. And they're good
to
go, right? Yeah. Perfect. Well, Sarah, another wonderful show. Really loved it. Kind of glad I don't have a swimming pool because it sounds like a lot of work to get that to work. But we'll talk again next week, sweetie, and we'll be back in the pop-up store again. So thank you all for listening. We loved being in the Halo pop-up store. We hope you did too. And Sarah, you have a great night.